All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Okay, I have an off-brand children's game here. Gator Dentist.
Gator Dentist. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Do you remember that? You pull out the gator's teeth, leaving it very helpless.
What could...
When you return to the wild?
Oh, man. Looks like the hunter has become the hunted.
Just creating a very unpopular, a popular gator, depending on where you're at on the food chain.
Yeah. Huh. Okay. Yeah, I remember this. I had this as a kid. There was also my dentist for many years had a like portable version of that game in his office for kids to play with. But you would
like a baby gator?
Yeah, you didn't extract the teeth. You had to like push them in.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's an even different kind of gator torture. Uh-huh. Making a more dangerous like double gator.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I remember this game.
Yeah, this is off-brand because we couldn't get the licensing rights to regular Gator Dentist.
Yeah.
But I've taken all of these homemade teeth here, some of which are some of my old teeth, some of which are teeth that I bought on the dark web.
Okay.
And I have written games on them. And you're going to pull a tooth.
Okay.
But you gotta watch out because sometimes the gator will bite you for pulling its teeth out.
Yeah, and you've got real teeth in here. This is not just real plastic teeth. Nubs.
And it's I made it myself, so most of it was made from a bear trap.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's a lot of bear trap technology.
Can I wear a gauntlet?
You can wear a glove.
Oh, damn it. Okay.
You can wear a mitten.
All right. I'm just going to... Okay, this one looks pretty gnarly. I'm just going to grab that. And... Yep. No. Ow. Ow.
Yeah.
Ow.
That was not the...
No.
I don't know if I have the technology to make a bear trap selectively fire.
No.
Not technology. I don't know if I have the know-how to do it.
I mean, either or. One could make up for the other. Jigsaw would know.
Yeah, Jigsaw would know.
Yeah.
Let me do a little release here. There's a little release pin.
All right.
Once you've killed the bear, you can get out of your...
So the actual one, it's stuck in the back of my hand there. So let me just grab that bad boy out and let's take a look. I don't know how to say this, Gary.
You can say it, but you're gonna sound like you're doing an accent.
Yeah, that's gonna sound like Gary, am I gonna get canceled for this?
Well, to say it as you gotta say it as like Gambit. Like if you say it in like that kind of voice, it's not offensive because Gambit's white.
Gonna chew.
Yeah, gonna eat you.
Okay. Yes. All right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
No.
We'll get into it. Gary Butterfield.
This is Kay Ross.
And welcome to Abject Suffering, where I am tired. I am so tired. I can't.
Good. You sold it.
Yeah.
I've never been so disappointed. Do you know what the name for that game is? Crocodile Dentist. And I was like, oh, what's that Crocodile Dentist game called?
It sucks.
Fucking,
it sucks so bad.
You fucking lazy assholes at Hasbro. Yeah. This week we're doing a random game. This was put into the suggestion machine by Sybil, who says it's a game based on a vor fetish webcomic. Did I mention that this just got a VR update? Because that's a real thing that I have in my Steam library forever.
Interesting.
Yeah.
This is a game and a kind of a property that has an intense, like, that can't be what this is.
Yeah.
Element that goes in multiple directions, in terms of what it actually is.
Yes. So
it is a vor webcomic, but if you read, I've read some of this comic, looking at things, a bunch of it has very little to masturbate to.
Gary, are you... Are you somebody who, were you hoping it would awaken something?
No, I'm just saying that, I'm not just saying it didn't work for me. Yeah, I'm not particularly, turned on by belly rooms and stuff, but a bunch of it's just shtick.
Yeah, no, a bunch of it is just somebody doing a like a, it is a crocodile who is unstuck in time, who is speaking in like a very broad like Mark Twain character whose name I'm not comfortable saying.
Yes.
Kind of patois.
Yeah. Yeah. Gator Jim.
Yeah.
We'll say. he gets transported to the 80s, but he's not doing like 80s stuff.
No.
You know, and he hangs out with an otter. And the gator would like to eat the otter and their friends.
Yeah.
And you like, okay, this could be horny. The internet does that, right? Like,
yeah.
But a lot of times they just, it's like an old 40s comic.
Yeah.
With nothing to masturbate to. Mm-hmm. Like it's like Crazy Cat or Ignatz or like, you know, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit. Pogo. It's got a little bit of that energy to it.
Yeah.
When I found out this had... This was very specifically like there were people who masturbated to this. I was very surprised that this has that angle because it's not evident.
It is very chaste. There's very little like, oh, I swallowed you for fun. Isn't that fun and cute to this?
Like,
yeah,
this person's active. Like there is their website or the comic and game person is on Blue Sky.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna eat you on bluesky.social.
Yeah.
And I read a bunch of the comics.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just like goofy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
So it is hard because like, I guess it technically does qualify as furry vore, but it is not the most, let's say, pungent example of that somebody who was looking for weird and off-putting stuff would have seen. So it kind of doesn't
fit. Not even a little bit.
It doesn't fit the remit of being something that like that you could even make fun of because of its extremity.
Yeah. I it made me think like, is this what furry vore stuff has always been? And like the people, it is a fetish thing, but what mm-hmm. they're fetishizing is like taking pies off of windowsills and stuff. And like stealing clothes from clotheslines.
Uh-huh.
Like, is it just 40s hijinks that is what is getting the folk off?
Uh-huh.
You know?
As it stands, based on what I've seen from the comics, which are being reposted, like the whole thing is on webtoons.com. But mm-hmm. you have to sign up for an account to do that. And I'm not gonna.
No.
You can't make me. I'm not gonna. But like, it is no more vore than like Sylvester the cat wants to eat Tweety Bird.
Yeah.
It's kind of just that.
Is yeah. Tom and Jerry vore?
Somebody who's a scholar of this might say like, oh yeah, no, that like that was my own personal awakening. And I understand earlier I said like, oh, this is off-putting or whatever. Like, I'm not passing judgment or anything, but like, I don't get it. So it is hard for me to look at something and say like, well, it's hard to identify. Yeah.
Yeah. Like you don't have the rods and cones in your eyes that see
yeah.
what would be hot about this. Mm-hmm. So if it's there, you literally can't see it.
Yeah.
You know, it's a secret message.
This doesn't look like anything.
You don't have the decoder ring.
Yeah.
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 I was just very surprised by how innocent mm-hmm. this was. And there's like a double innocence. Cause like you play the game and learn about the comic. And it's very innocent.
Mm-hmm.
And finding out there's a sex angle, and then it also, for all the world, seems like it's going to be Pony Island.
Yes. And there are gestures toward that. Like, there are cheat codes you can put in. And when you do that, like, it pops up, like, a glitched-out image of, like, a demon-looking thing that says something yes. cryptic. And that's about it.
Your character will write it down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can go over to the notebook in this. Like, the frame of this game is you're, like, in a back room with an arcade machine.
Mm-hmm.
That's why there's the VR update. And there's a little notepad that is full of, like, I couldn't read it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take long to read things, not to brag, but I can read. But it's so boring. There's like this really anodyne notepad uh-huh. of messages back and forth between the arcade owner and a friend of theirs.
Uh-huh.
And I started reading it. I'm like, this is going nowhere. This is straight up, you know, joysticks. Like, I told you to get the gas. No, I told you to get the gas.
Yeah.
This is going in circles. But then when I got put in the cheat code, I noticed my character had written on the notepad
mm-hmm.
The first line. So it's like, oh, this is like an ARG thing, or this is going to lead to a Pony Island if I beat this or put in the right codes. And I just kind of couldn't be bothered at that point.
No, not at all. And, you know, when I saw that there was a furry vore game that had a VR element, I was like, okay, well, it's a game where you get gulped.
Dive in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to take a journey.
It'd be novel.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't think it would excite me in any way, but like, yeah. I don't know, mm-hmm. like be novel.
Yeah.
It's not that. Instead, it's you being locked in a room with a knockoff of the first party Nintendo game Popeye.
Yeah.
Which is really weird and obscure. Like nobody thinks about Popeye, mm-hmm. the arcade game. You haven't seen a lot of fast follows on Popeye.
No.
Right? Like, it's not like Pac-Man or Donkey Kong, like these games that got versions mm-hmm. of them. But there's a Nintendo game called Popeye. It's this.
Yeah.
Which I don't think is actually that bad. Like, I kind of got into the game.
Oh, yeah. No, I was like, oh, I want to see what the levels are. I got to all the levels. There are three of them.
I beat the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's what I meant when I was, like, kind of warm on it when we did the intro. It's like, I kind of like the arcade game.
Yeah,
Gonichu arcade game. If this were in arcades, I would pop a quarter into it when I saw it and have mm-hmm. a pretty good time.
Just wait, there are so many frames on this person being eaten image. Yeah. like around that animation. Like they're just, this is so lovingly rendered. Just this person being swallowed whole.
And you drinking the cappuccino. So like you are a little otter. You're running away from a gator. Mm-hmm. And there are paper airplanes falling from the sky that you have mm-hmm. to collect.
Yes.
And there are bees. They'll stun you and they'll stun the gator. And you just kind of navigate away from the gator, but there's one pack pellet per level.
Yeah.
And it's a cappuccino. And then you become a big gator shaped otter and you eat the gator.
Yeah.
And it is very lovingly rendered in a way that, like, once I found out there was a horny angle to it, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, there was a lot of attention paid to that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not, you know, it does not look horny in any way.
No. And I guess I'm frustrated because this didn't give me enough to make fun of, even if, there's almost like nothing to remark on about this. And so
there's very little, there's tons of lore. Like you can look at the comic and look at that, you know, that notepad and stuff. There's mm-hmm. a lot of story to this.
Yeah.
But there's just not a whole lot to that story.
Yeah. So it's kind of leaving me with nothing. And in my head, it was just like, okay, well, like, I don't feel comfortable talking about like somebody's actual like fetish thing. I was like, why does furry and vore seem to go together so much? And the answer is obvious, because furries are prolific content creators. And also they're both things that can primarily exist through illustration and animation, you know,
to get the fantasy. Things.
Yeah. Animals eat things. Yeah. Like, you know,
yeah,
it just makes sense. Why is furriness, like, why are these crossovers so, you know, so prolific? Why does there seem to be a high comorbidity? And it's like, oh, well, no, they just make a lot of content because like, that's just that was just the culture. It's how they like found each other and started exploring. Okay. I get it.
Yeah. it's also a thing that distorts
yeah.
numbers in a weird way because it was such a internet, you know,
it was
phenomenon,
right,
from the 2000s and 2010s,
yeah,
as a thing. So like tons of it got surfaced,
yes,
in gen pop,
mm-hmm.
as a thing.
Yeah,
there's something kind of interesting to the idea of a game on Steam that is about you being in a room with a video game in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I've seen versions of that before, but I kind of like it.
Yeah.
You know, like this, the game is simulating you having access to playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. I don't dislike that. Kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But then surprisingly, like, I'm not going to get into the webcomic, you know, epic.
Yeah.
That gets into these characters' personal lives and like their antics, because like, I like Crazy Cat and I like Pogo, mm-hmm. but I, you know, that's Crazy Cat and Pogo. You know,
yeah.
I don't necessarily need like a modern new version of that where like at some point the characters might propose.
Yeah.
And I will not have seen the signs at all and just be really surprised. Gonna marry you. And I'm like, fuck, man.
Shit. Gonna get hitched.
Like, yeah. Gonna hit you. Damn.
Yeah.
Gator Jim.
Huh. just like, yeah. So like, even if I wanted to be mean-spirited about this, I just kind of can't.
Yeah. Yeah. There's not enough to make fun of.
Yeah.
For it. It's a fun little arcade game.
Yeah.
I like it when somebody makes a new arcade game. Like I like mm-hmm. that Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah, the Fix a Felix one. Yeah. Or the like the games in Arcade Paradise. Yeah.
Yeah. Same. Like I like somebody making a new arcade game very much.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a genuine angle to come at this from Popeye.
Yeah.
Which like
it's period appropriate. Yeah.
super period appropriate and might be the most like obscure Nintendo, like the first party Nintendo thing they've done the least with because they don't have the licensing rights.
Yeah, yeah. It hasn't popped up even like in WarioWare, like yeah. Gunfighter has. Yeah.
It's not on Virtual Console.
No.
You know, like Popeye is hard, is like an obscure Nintendo game.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a lost classic or anything.
No.
You know, but it's extant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is. It happened.
Like, you can't deny it. Even if you wanted to. Then, it'd be weird to want to deny it.
Yeah, it does exist as a thing. But yeah, Odd Duck.
Mm-hmm.
This game.
I'm very uncomfortable with the accent on the gator. If I'm being honest with you.
Into the accent, the gator accent myself.
We're being kind to it, but also like it kind of I have read very insensitive comics made by bigots.
You're not trying to kink shame it, you're trying to racism shame it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Like it's, you know, you're running into like the Loco Bandito or whatever that Mike Mattai racist comic was.
Right.
Ugh. Yeah. It is a good day.
Okay.
We're recording this. It is Thursday.
Okay.
May 15th. And they've released a new Gordon Ramsay Disguise supercut.
They have. You sent that to me. I didn't watch all of it. It was time. You know, I was doing other stuff, Gary.
I know, but it has a good ending.
Well, you sent it to me with the time code too. So I was like,
that was an accident. Sorry.
Yeah. No. So I figured that like, so I watched like the segment that was that and then the next one.
Okay.
I was not aware. You said maybe we've talked about this before and everything falls out of my mind after we say it. It was not in the forefront of my mind that Gordon Ramsay did Gene Parmesan shit.
Yes. If we have talked about this on the show before, just consider this a re-up.
Mm-hmm.
Like if Retronauts can talk about Metal Gear 20 times, we can talk about Gordon Ramsay. I'm just teasing my friends.
Yeah.
Not actually, but it's okay. You know, it's been a while, my point. Gordon Ramsay has a bunch of shows. All of his shows are the same. Like basically the basic concept.
Mm-hmm.
The best one to me is called 24 Hours to Hell and Back, which is, that name goes fucking hard.
Okay.
Way harder than it needs to. And in this, it is a restaurant revision show, like all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But the gimmick is he goes undercover to check out the restaurant. And I've never seen a full episode of the show, but YouTube has a bunch of compilations of it. And it's great. It's fucking incredible. It's some of the weirdest TV that's ever been. He goes in an increasingly unlikely, for this season, one, he's driving around the United States in a semi-truck.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice that?
I did notice that.
Well, so why?
is the semi-truck where the makeup artists are?
Yeah, I think so. But it's not always in a semi-truck.
Okay.
You know, and presumably they could do that on site.
Uh-huh.
You know, they could do that in location. He's driving around the country on a semi-truck. He's going to go to a restaurant, and he disguises himself because the idea is that if people saw Gordon Ramsay coming in, they're going to make good food.
They had to. Oh yeah. Okay.
You know, so he has to trick them, you know? So he puts on these disguises and they are, it runs the gamut from Gene Parmesan to Carl Havoc.
Those are the two axes.
Are the two axes, spectrum. And they just get increasingly weirder and weirder, like as you watch them. Like the first couple ones, he's just making an ass attempt to look like he's different. Uh-huh. And Gordon Ramsay, if you don't know what he looks like, has one of the most like makeable faces.
Oh yeah, no,
in
like
the world.
I think the meme is you would be easy to draw, is what you say to somebody.
Extremely easy to draw.
Yeah,
like his nose. You cannot tell how unique this man's nose is until he starts trying to hide it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the way you can't make a nose smaller through makeup.
That can only be achieved through like perspective tricks with makeup.
Yeah, he had to have Gandalf standing next to it or something. So instead they just add more mass to it.
Uh-huh.
So every Gordon Ramsay disguise looks really, really bizarre and fake.
Yeah. They also they never do much to disguise his chin. He has a very distinctive chin too.
They do beard sometimes, but if they don't have a beard, he just has a very distinctive chin. He has like very craggly skin.
Yeah.
And there. He cannot do accents.
No, God, not
for
at all.
Anything. It's really funny when he tries, like he's looked all crap. Like he's trying to like squeeze out something not in his natural voice.
Uh-huh. So, I mean, again, through all of the like prosthetics.
Yes.
My favorite. So the pilot one where they tried to do a double fake out.
Let me build okay, that. Give all me right, okay. 1 second because I'm doing yeah. a little bit of history of the old ones.
Okay.
Right. You know, you're coming into this. This is a late in the series of these, and it's fine. If I haven't shared these with you, it's on me as a friend. He originally just did normal disguises.
Yes.
Then he moves on to group disguises.
Okay.
And the first time that happened, he went in dressed as a ska band. With a bunch of other people. He'd bring in other people to kind of blend in uh-huh. with them. And that was real funny. I was like, oh shit, it's Scott Gordon Ramsay. That's really funny.
Uh-huh.
You're watching this thing. Every once in a while, he cross dresses, British, haha.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, he always wants to drive.
Okay.
He loves driving in America.
Huh.
There's one where he went in with a bunch of cops. And he's like, I'm going to drive, right? And all the cops laugh. They're like, you can't drive the police car. Uh-huh. And then he goes to get in the car to drive it. And they have to stop him. He's like, I would like to drive. And they say, no. And it's all like left in. It's yeah. real weird. This next one, though, go ahead. This is the innovation that is in this next, the supercut that dropped today.
Okay.
What you were going to say.
Yeah. So basically the predator evolved. So the prey evolved. So the predator had to evolve again.
Yeah, that's true.
And like, okay, well now people are looking out for just Gordon Ramsay in disguise. So what we need to do is we need to have Gordon Ramsay disguised as somebody else as part of the crew. But then take somebody else and make them look like Gordon Ramsay in a very bad disguise. So they know that there's a Gordon Ramsay about, but they don't know,
they don't know which Gordon Ramsay which
seems,
it is.
But seems to defeat the purpose, which is already
100% defeats the fucking purpose.
It already defeats the purpose because there's a fucking film crew there, right?
Well, there's like, a film crew and they think that there's a Gordon Ramsay there.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, literally, they think it's a Gordon Ramsay. It's just not the Gordon Ramsay they thought it was.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is it was already dumb because whenever cameras come into a restaurant, it's best behavior, right? But yeah. Now it is, oh, that's Gordon Ramsay, so I'm going to try and impress him. Like, they were already trying to impress the person with the camera.
It's so dumb. Like, they try to, because they always have to have the camera in there. And the way they try to do it is they're like, oh, it's not Gordon Ramsay. It's a different restaurant rescue show.
Yeah. It's
you know, they're going to wheel out the real slop for anybody other than Gordon Ramsay. Like, they just want to get renovated. They don't give a shit. They're going to serve rotten oysters.
Mm-hmm.
When they have this pilot one, the makeup on this guy is fucking terrifying.
Oh, no. Like, it's immediately. Like I thought that's why you time-coded it because of the yeah. Carl Havoc angle.
It looks like somebody, like a reconstruction from a burn injury. To me,
yeah,
like not trying to be insensitive about that, but that's what it looks like mm-hmm. like a sculpted kind of remade face.
Yeah,
it's scary.
It's we're in bad graft territory. Also, like it's too he's got too much shit on him. I'm sorry to keep doing it, but it is just true. Like, the prosthetics are just too thick, so much so that it alters the shape of the head.
He looks like the Super Corey from the Corey short.
Yeah.
Right?
He does.
Like, there's too much bone
uh-huh.
in his face, like extra bone.
Yeah.
So the idea is you see him, but you don't see Gordon Ramsay hiding out.
Uh-huh.
He stands up, reveals himself, and everyone's like, oh, who's this fucker?
Uh-huh.
And then Gordon Ramsay stands up and everyone loses their shit.
Uh-huh.
The people in the restaurant always applaud. I fucking love it.
I would
what
too.
What else are you supposed yeah. to do? Yeah, like, what do I tip you? Like, what do I do now? And then Gordon Ramsay gets to go, no one should be applauding. This is horrible food. And just talks about how shitty it is and brings people out to shame them.
Yeah.
And then the great thing about these supercuts is then you don't go into the boring restaurant revision part.
No.
We're back on the semi.
Uh-huh.
We're going to another place with another wacky disguise. The two did you watch? Did you watch the one where he brought in Gronk?
No, I didn't. I didn't watch the one where he brought in Gronk.
That one, it's not a disguise distraction. He's just going in with Gronk. So
with baby Gronk?
No, big Gronk.
With Gronkowski?
Yeah, okay. Big Gronk. Yeah, okay. Big Gronk comes in as a distraction. So Gronk's there.
Oh, okay.
And they're just like, shit, let's serve some rotten oysters to Gronk.
Yeah, let's serve some football-style rotten oysters. Yeah.
Yeah, like to the Gronk. That was really incredible. There's one where he goes in with a bunch of Revolutionary War reenactors. Why?
Yeah.
It's the most conspicuous you could be in the world.
Yeah.
Like, I understand they have to eat. But very funny. And then the other part of this, I can't remember if I mentioned this, or I don't know if you noticed it, is when he's talking about the food. He always orders seafood because it's like the thing that's most likely to be gross.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
off and everything.
Yeah.
When they show the problems of the food, it's shown like the Terminator scanning it. Like it's all shown like possible homosexual.
Yeah.
You know? Uh-huh. You know, not fresh crab cake in like robot font. Like, I don't know where the robot angle comes from.
Neither do I. No.
It's really good.
They spend so much time on the makeup process. Oh, yeah. And when he's cross-dressing, he can't stop feeling his boob, which real.
He will not stop touching his boob and making jokes to the ladies. Like, if one of these starts sagging, grab it.
Yeah.
In that one, he also is really upset. Like, he's trying to find a real problem with the thing. And his problem is that they gave him too much parsley. So he starts gathering everyone's parsley that they gave him and puts them in his purse. And then when he stands up and everyone's, you know, applauding and he tells them not to applaud, he goes, I gathered this much parsley, and opens up a purse. Like, being served too much parsley is actually like a problem.
Scrape it off.
Yeah. I'm not like super into parsley, but also you're kind of reaching there, man.
Uh-huh.
Like the rest of the food didn't seem like it was good, but.
Right. Yeah. You
know, yeah.
So the thing about the level of like makeup and prosthetic and stuff that's going on here is there's no effort made to emulate the translucency of the skin.
No.
So it just kind of looks like a real doll with incredibly sunken eyes.
Yeah. And with Gordon Ramsay's nose and chin, like it looks like you bought a real doll of Gordon Ramsay off the dark web.
Yeah. and it's very poorly fastened at the neck too. So it, like you can see the wrinkle there.
The seam. It's gross.
Yeah.
It's real substance. Like it's real like Gordon Ramsay turning into what Gordon Ramsay came out of.
It's like Monstro Joseph.
Joseph Gordo. Yeah.
Monstro Gordo. Gordo Joseph. Yeah.
Monstro Gordo Joseph at the end. Like, it's really special. And this one, this supercut, it's about a half hour long. I understand that's not nothing. Some of the people, when they find out Gordon Ramsay's there and starts bad mouthing the restaurant, they start crying, which I think is incredible.
Uh-huh.
Because they're just straight up serving rotten food.
Yeah.
Like there's real fuck around. You got caught and it's disgusting. Like I know that they edit these things, right? Like I understand reality TV, but they're going in and they're just like people saying shit like, oh, why is the walk-in freezer so warm? And then like opens up a bucket and it's full of dead crabs that are supposed to be alive.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, sorry guys, are any of you still alive? I know it's warm in here. It's like a fucking walk-in freezer.
Yeah.
Like you can't serve a dead warm crab.
Yeah. No, it's like, man, it is. So they're crying because it's going to be okay. Our spot's going to be blown up. You know, we're never going to recover from this. They wouldn't cry if they got a bad health inspection.
Well, they might recover from it because Gordon Ramsay's going to recover them.
Yeah.
It's also like a weird good thing.
Yeah.
Like so much of reality TV is like a humiliation Olympics.
Yeah.
Right? Like you submit your dignity and you get money in return.
Mm-hmm.
And like this is embarrassing. Mm-hmm. Gordon Ramsay looked at their big pile of raw dead oysters that like, you know, are disgusting and spit them out of his mouth really theatrically, told everyone to stop eating. But then he's going to revamp you and you're going to get on the TV show and people are going to come, you're going to do the check-in and stuff, you know, like not all the restaurants make it, but there's a chance that it can revitalize the restaurant. Like, I think it is ultimately a good thing to be on the show, but you have to give up a lot of dignity. You have, like the idea is you stand there and get dressed down by Gordon Ramsay in a dress.
And just you are sacrificing so much dignity by somebody who is so far, has wandered so far afield and has surrendered any dignity he might have had. Like,
he's dressed up as a ska band.
Yeah.
Like he gets up and peels off a ska band mask.
Yeah.
Like that person's dressing you down.
Uh-huh.
Imagine if the end of Scooby-Doo, like before they pulled the mask off the haunted amusement park owner, they were dressed like the Blues Brothers, you know? And they're like, no, it's actually me, Shaggy. Yeah. Starts clapping.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be clapping.
No.
There's nothing to clap about.
Like zoinks.
Zoinks, there's nothing to clap about.
You know what? I look at this, you know, like pretty much the past 15 years of Gordon Ramsay's like antics, of which I've only seen like the lowlights, right? But like, dog is trying so hard to like recapture the Amy's Baking Company heat.
Yes.
right? Yeah. Like, he's never going to hit it again. He's never going to reach it.
No, that was a unique set of weirdos.
Yeah.
Like, we're not going to get them again. It's sad. Mm-hmm. So then he has to kind of balance the scales by being more outlandish on his side.
Yeah.
I support.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Like, you've got to, it's not like you get anywhere by going less spectacle, right?
Well, and it also just makes for really surreal, fun videos. Like, it makes for good TV.
Yeah.
That's exceedingly weird and, like, mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. Jeez, I don't know. Like, you can only go more because, like, Hell's Kitchen, the British one, like, it's realistic stuff and practical solutions.
Yeah, or Kitchen Nightmares.
Nightmares. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Hell's Kitchen is just the reality show, and that's the. Yeah. I think I mentioned this before. Like, Gordon Ramsay's incepted to me as the first reality show that ever gained purchase. Okay. It was Hell's Kitchen. Like, me and my ex-wife watched that.
Yeah.
And it was just a cooking competition show. Like, it's mm-hmm. basically the same as all others. We just kind of got invested in it the way you sometimes get invested in plots.
Yeah.
And drama and stuff. And I always had a little bit of a soft spot for the man mm-hmm. because of that. And then I would not have imagined he just got weirder and weirder.
Yeah.
As time goes on.
Like, when I was...
beautiful, beautiful way.
When I was first, like, learning to cook, you know, like, mm-hmm. not just heat up stuff, like... I've got a lot of affection because he made a lot of very good explanatory videos about how to make very basic things, right? Him and Alan Brown. Yeah.
Yeah. And the way they're shot is really funny. He's in his kitchen and it plays super intense music, and he writes something on a chalkboard and then presents it to the camera mm-hmm. really forcefully. And sometimes it just says, like, patience is key, you know, or something like that. Like, it doesn't always say the name of a dish or anything. Sometimes it's just like a fortune cookie.
Mm-hmm.
For cooking, you know, season as you go, and he presents it like
here's the key. Here's the thought technology. This is going to unlock everything for you.
Salt, you know, like in big letter, big block letters.
Yeah.
Also get to see his kids during that. And he's got these boys, and it's kind of funny.
Do they look
like it's cute?
Do they look eerily like him?
No, they just look like little moppets. He's got like boys and girls, like little blonde moppets. But it's kind of cute. Like, he seems like a good dad.
Yeah,
it's kind of sweet.
Yeah, I'm probably going to have to watch this. These people look very sad.
All of the disguise ones are worthwhile.
Yeah.
All of the disguise ones are good. One of the things I like about it is that everyone tries to be more gourmandy around Gordon Ramsay. Like, they always order seafood because I think it has a better chance of being off. That's not just me being... not into seafood, but seafood freshness is more important. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that they do is they have, he will make a big show out of not liking his food. Uh-huh. And then everyone around the table will do it as well.
Like, they're just matching his energy.
They're just matching his energy, or he will kind of lead them.
Uh-huh.
Like, he will eat a piece of crab cake and be like, don't eat that. That's awful. And then the person will be like, yeah, that's awful. It's turn. And a lot of times I assume this food, most people, if they eat it, like, a lot, we eat a lot of crap when you go to a restaurant. Yeah. A lot of it's just reheated, not fresh mm-hmm. bullshit, like frozen, food comes in bags.
Yeah.
You know, I imagine most people would not even notice, mm-hmm. but because Gordon Ramsay's there, like, it's like, oh man, I super know. Like, he's always asking if people smell that. Like, as soon as he enters, like, do you smell that? It smells fishy in here. Do you smell that? And people are like, yeah.
Well, yeah, because you primed me. You primed me.
Yeah, too. Exactly. Is nonstop priming people to kind of like be little junior Gordon Ramsay's.
Yeah.
Gordon's Ramsay.
Please. I don't know. I just, seems like a lot of trouble to go through getting into all that makeup. I don't know. I think I'm too practical for this.
I think that because it's his job.
Uh-huh.
And because he started going and doing more situations and meeting more celebrities doing it,
mm-hmm.
I think he's having a lot of fun.
True.
Initially, I was like, this is a huge pain in the ass, but like, he went with the Gronk. He went, one of them, he dresses up as with one of his friends as a gangster, and they go in with two guys who were on The Sopranos.
Okay.
Just to be like, what if four mobsters went and got lunch and didn't like it? Like, that's the concept. And they stood up and everyone applauded and cried.
So like, maybe the framing that I have were like, oh, he's just upping the spectacle every time because that's what people demand. Like, maybe in order to feel anything, like, maybe this is just for him.
Yeah. He's getting increasingly intense hits.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, maybe Gordon Ramsay's at the end of his life and this is the only way he can feel anything at this point. It's like in Kinsey when he sliced up his dick,
yeah.
You Jesus. Know, to feel something. He has to get increasingly outlandish disguises.
Yeah, yeah.
The distraction is very funny.
Yes.
That is the new technology in this new video of sending in somebody dressed up like a worse Gordon Ramsay to do a Gordon Ramsay shell game.
Well, and that's the most uncanny one because it has to be two layers of makeup. It has to be two layers of applications. Like,
there's also one in this video compilation where he goes in as the sound guy. Uh-huh. He sends in somebody else disguised, not as Gordon Ramsay. He sends in people like, one of his like minions from Hell's Kitchen as another renovation show. And he goes in as the sound guy for that. So the idea is they'll give garbage food to that guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the kitchen and he's not a good boom mic operator. And he keeps getting it close to the food. At one point he uses the boom mic to like flip a spatula on a grill to make two things touch.
No,
and then Terminator vision zooms in and goes cross contamination. He fucking did that, man. Where's the Gordon Ramsay prime directive?
Yeah. Like, come on. Like, you can't blame them for something you did.
Yeah, it's very funny. Just, recommended viewing, priority viewing.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Huh.
What should people do if they like this show?
If people like the show, they can support us on Patreon. That's patreon.com/duckfeedtv. You get a whole bunch of bonus content. There are 200 plus bonus episodes of this show you can listen to, along with ongoing bonus shows that are still running.
Yeah. It is a good value, we think, and we appreciate it. And if you like the shows, this is how we keep doing them.
Mm-hmm.
Not holding anything hostage, but, you know, I got a mortgage to pay.
Yeah.
We have health insurance to buy. Got to live to make a show.
Mm-hmm.
Help us live.
Please.
You can also leave us ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts, Podcast Addict, anywhere you see reviews. Tell your friends. Spread the word. We don't advertise. So we're reliant on that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can join us in thanking our producer, Gwen.
Thank you, Gwen.
Yeah, and what should they do until next time?
Well, Gary, remember this has been Abject Suffering, where, sorry guys, we tried to cast the tie-breaking vote for Pope Pizzaballa, but we were late to the conclave.
Fuck. The new pope seems okay.
I don't know. I literally don't have an opinion. Oh. I don't know enough.
He seems more progressive than maybe you might expect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I literally have no investment.
Yeah, I don't have investment. I'm just saying, like, I was really pulling for Pizzaballa because of the name, but maybe the new guy's okay.
Yeah, maybe he's fine. I don't know.
Maybe not. So who knows?